said nothing, watching as his fingers scrolled lightly over my hard work.
11.
He repeated the number, his head tilting at something that came to mind, and he leaped up, grabbing his notepad and frantically flipped pages.
11.
He looked up at me.
11 days ago, I took off your handcuffs, gave you freedom in the room.
He glanced around.
How did you know what a day was? There aren't any windows in this room, and the lights are always on.
His eyebrows pinched. I swallowed.
You visit every day, wear different clothes. That's how I count.
He stared at me for a spell before pulling a pen from the notebook and writing, a long line of cursive that wasn't legible from my seat on the floor. I took a risk.
How long did it take for you to take off my handcuffs? To give me that freedom?
He laughed, jotting down something in the margin before clicking the pen shut.
Great question, kitten, but I can't tell you that. And I can't let you do this. Counting days signifies hope. We can't have hope.
Why not? Wouldn't hope endear me to you? He walked over, crouched before me. I dropped my eyes, examining the seam of his dress pants as they stretched over his knee.
No, kitten,
he whispered.
Believe me when I say that hope will only drive you insane.
That night, when he left, he chained me back up. I didn't know how long, how many days stretched by while I was back in those cuffs. But when he let me free, I didn't keep any more hatch marks. I couldn't. He varied his schedule, visited a bunch in a row, then would leave me for what felt like days. I cursed myself for speaking, swore, for at least a week, to not tell him anything. I didn't keep that vow. A part of me felt that the only thing he wanted me for was information. And once he had all of that, maybe he'd let me go. Or maybe he'd kill me. I had to face all options.
Chapter 7.
The driver's name was Leo. White Escalade with custom rims, tinted windows. I stepped into the back seat. Brett following me inside, his long legs cramped in the back seat. I clutched my purse, smiled at Leo as he shut the door. I had parted with the girls, their protective nature insisting on a face-to-face with Brett, before letting me disappear into the night. Jenna had taken it one step further, getting his business card and verifying his cell. He smiled through it all, relaxed and at ease. The intensity of our alley romp gone as he shook hands. Oh my God, those fingers were in me. Remembered names and stole all of their hearts. The SUV moved, rocking over cobblestone steps that pirates once roamed, the movement of the car tossing me slightly. Brett's hand found me in the darkness. Sorry about the interrogation in there.
I'm not. They're watching out for you. It's the smart thing to do.
I bit the edge of my smile. You say that. Jenna Crawford has your number. You might regret that in the wee hours of the morning. I think her second major was drunk dialing. He brought my hand to his mouth, kissing the back of it.
I can handle it.
I glanced to the front, to the Bahamian man less than 5 feet away. What you said in the alley, about what this will mean?
Yes.
I shrugged. I just want you to know that I'm a big girl. I'm not gonna attach anything to this, if it doesn't turn out to be anything. He looked out the window, tugged at the front of his dress pants, adjusting himself. He said,
I may have spoken out of turn. I'm not used to this.
I lowered my voice. We can have sex, without it meaning anything.
I'm not 17, Riley. I'm familiar with the concept.
I shut my mouth. Did my own turn of looking out the window, trying to decide if I should bail on this man when we hit the hotel lobby. It was easier when I looked out the window, when I didn't see the line of his jaw and imagine how it tasted, when I didn't look in those eyes and fall further into trouble. He moved my hand,
from the armrest where he had held it, to his lap. I pushed my palm flat against him and lost a bit of my breath. Wow. His hand atop mine, he slid my palm, my exploring, inquisitive fingers, from his belt buckle to his leg, letting me feel exactly how much, how hard, he wanted me. I darted my eyes, tried to see more, but the dark cab showed me nothing but the glow of his eyes, watching me, his mouth hidden by shadow. Those eyes closed briefly when I gripped him through the fabric. More, he breathed. I fumbled with the zipper, my own hand struggling, his hand moving to help, holding the fabric tightly as I tugged down the metal tag, holding my breath, hoping the driver's music would drown out the sound, the man's head not moving, not turning. When the action ended, my hand stole in and came in immediate contact with bare cock. There was a moment when my body relaxed as my fingers wrapped around it, as if I was finally at peace in a place where I belonged and everything else could subside. I am touching it. The thought was a shot of arousal to my body. I moved my hand, explored. My first thought, the observation that my thumb and index finger didn't meet, that his fingers, which had satisfied me so easily in that alley, wouldn't hold a candle to this organ. I squirmed a bit in my seat, gripped him with my full hand, and was rewarded with an exhale of breath. A squeal of brakes. I looked up and realized we were stopping. It was a toll booth, Leo leaning out the window, the street lights of the toll plaza casting in full light, my hand on Brett's. Oh my God, that is gorgeous, cock. He leaned forward quickly, pushing my hand gently to the side, and my ears heard the faint sound of a zipper closing. Royal Towers. He put his hands on the front headrests, resting his weight on them as he spoke to the driver, and I fought the urge to run my hand over the line of his back. It had been so long since I touched a man in a loving way, so long since I was in a role other than that of professional friend. Sweet old Riley. I didn't touch his back. I sat, my hands between my knees, the heat of my fingers remembering the lines of his cock, the ridge between his shaft and his head, how it moved slightly in my hand when I grabbed it, the warmth of his skin. Then the truck stopped, a burst of air brushed over my bare legs, and I accepted Leo's hand and exited the vehicle. Thank you. Brett's hand was on my arm, taking over from Leo, firm pressure in his touch as he guided me toward the entrance, his steps quick, my heels almost struggling to keep up. I tugged on his hand, and his head turned, noted my agitation, and he slowed his gait. I'm sorry. He looped an arm around my shoulders, pressed a kiss on the top of my head. Do you want to grab a drink at the bar? Do I want to grab a drink at the bar? I didn't think I could handle the weight to walk down the hotel hallway, much less sit out the agonizing process of ordering, sipping, and then paying for an unneeded drink. I shook my head. No, I'm good. He held the door, our eyes catching for a moment as I passed through. Just that catch, that brief hold of two stares. It relit the fire that didn't need any additional fuel. I didn't know why I was going to fuck this man. There was no sense or reason in the decision. But there was need. There was need, and there would be satisfaction. I didn't know what was about to happen, but I knew it would be different than anything I had ever had. Anyone I had ever fucked. I felt like I did when I was a virgin. Nervous, apprehensive, excited. The hand on my back guided me to an unfamiliar elevator, and I waited as he pressed the button.
Chapter 8. Brett. I watched her. This is a mistake. I should be back in that alley, or in the smoke of the club, drinking, watching, doing what I came here to do. I wasn't here for entertainment, didn't court strange women into my bed. My head, my heart didn't understand that. Fucking should have a purpose, should contribute to an end goal. There was no end goal that would work in this scenario. She was practically from Georgia, for God's sake. Here on a bachelorette party, surrounded by a group of friends with eyes of hawks and sex drives of donkeys. A fuck with her would accomplish nothing, lead nowhere. The words my idiotic mouth had uttered in that alley would never work. What did I expect? That after a few hours in my bed, she would commit? Fill the hole that once held my heart? This woman who moved before me, the one who smelled of lilies and brown sugar, had her own life. One I knew nothing about. A life that breathed fire and independence. One with roots and commitments, and for all I knew, its own leading man. I watched as the elevator doors opened and she stepped out, my hand reaching, snagging the delicate warmth of her wrist, and dragging her to the side, rougher than necessary, my sudden need to know more asserting its dominance. I released her wrist when she stumbled sideways, catching her weight and pinning it against the closest wall. "Jeez." The word came out as an annoyed huff, her eyes flashing as I moved closer, placed a hand on the wall beside her head, and stared into her eyes. "What is it with you and walls?"
"What's it about you?"
"Me?" She lifted her chin, looked at me head on. "I can't stop myself. I want to pin you and fuck you against every surface I come to." I swallowed, refocused my agitation on reading her signs. Her body tightened, breath shortened, eyes focused on my mouth. All reactions I was familiar with, could read as easily as a financial statement. Lust. A struggle against the reaction, her mind arguing with her want. Her eyes losing focus as she licked her lips to wet them. Good God. I barely heard her moan, heard the sound sigh out of her lips as she leaned against the wall, and I let myself do what I'd thought about for the last 15 minutes. Tasted that sweet fucking tongue. Reached down and lifted her up. Wrapped her legs around my waist and carried her the short distance to the door. My hand fumbling with the key. Our mouths fighting in their frantic quest for more, more, more. I turned the handle, pushed the door, stepped into the darkness and carried her to the bed. Tossing her off, I took a moment to catch my breath, collect my wits. From behind, I heard the click of the closing door, and for the first time since meeting her, we were truly and completely alone together. I sent a short prayer upward for strength, restraint, the ability to touch her and be gentle.
Chapter 9. Stay here. His breath seemed harder than necessary. The wild look in his eyes enough to keep me in place. My own lust aiding in the desire to speed this process along. He stepped away, running a hand through his hair, moved to the doors at the end of the room, opened the slider fully. Standing there for a moment, his hands high on the doorframe, his head hung slightly as he appeared to think. I propped myself up, made a conscious decision to ignore his directive, and stood. Walked across the room until I was behind him. His back straightened, and he turned, his face dark, silhouetted by the lit night before him. I stopped, looked up into the darkness that was his face. His hand reached forward toward my face, and I flinched, his hand stopping a few inches away. "Relax." His hand moved slowly, brushing down and covering my eyes. "Close your eyes." I did. I closed my eyes and felt his hand drop, kept them closed as I turned every other sense to high alert. "Good girl," he said softly. "Keep them closed." I did. I kept my world dark and tried to relax, felt the heat of him as he moved closer. I inhaled, but only smelled ocean, the breeze from the open door washing the scent of salt and sea across my face. Then his hands brushed over my shoulder blades, tugging down the spaghetti straps of my dress, swiped back across my collarbone as his firm fingers tugged at the front clasp of my dress. There was absolute silence as he parted the fabric and slid it down until my bra was the only thing on my upper half. Closer. I could feel the brush of his chest against the soft pillow of my breasts. Both of his arms wrapped around me as he unclipped my bra in one movement, the garment dropping, my breasts suddenly loose and free. His arms fell, and the hard comfort of his body left me. My eyes flipped open.
No,
He was before me, staring, close enough that the shadow was lifted. I could see the reflection of the bathroom light in his eyes. They were tight on me, a warning look in them.
Keep them closed, Riley. For now.
For now. I released a slow breath, dropped my eyelids until I was back to relying on touch, smell, hearing. I didn't know why I opened them anyway. This way was so much better. I could let my imagination go wild, imagine what I wanted, enjoy what I... Oh, God. A breeze blew, the cool air causing my skin to awaken, the caress of the outdoors making this suddenly so erotic in its voyeurism. I didn't remember which floor we were on, didn't know if it's the second or 20th, but knowing that the balcony door was open before me, feeling the soft brush of his fingers as they returned to my skin, it was enough to make my nipples peak, the weight in my pussy heavy with its increased need.
You are so beautiful.
He almost groaned the words, the sentence cutting off my own gasp as both of his fingers circled and teased my breasts, lifted them. I felt the rough prickle of his cheek as his mouth moved across their surface, a wet suction as my right nipple made its way into his mouth, his soft play of tongue against delicate skin, probing and teasing, a low moan coming out of me when he bit the tip gently. I sagged a bit in his hands, my knees shaking, my desire to have him making a persuasive argument against the one to have him never stop what was occurring right then.
Wait, Riley.
His mouth moved lower, his hands released my breasts, and I felt the bump of cloth against my legs. His mouth pressed kisses along my stomach until it reached the line of my dress, and his hands were suddenly at the back of me, fumbling over and then finding the zipper, yanking it down in one movement, and the fabric fell, leaving me one wet pair of panties away from being naked in heels before him.
God.
A reverent whisper from his mouth, a mouth that was wasting no time in moving lower.
Spread your legs a bit.
I obeyed, moaned softly when I felt the press of his finger moving aside the silk and pushing inside of me. One gentle push inside that broke any chance of restraint I had left. I opened my eyes, looked down to find him on his knees, and reached out, gripped his hair, and pulled his head back until our eyes met. I can't, I gasped, his finger pushing deeper, hooking inside of me, his eyes watching me darkly, the edge of his mouth curving a little when my legs buckled. Thank God the man listened. He moved to his feet, pulling his finger from me and moving it to his mouth. Sucking on his forefinger, he stared down at me. I stepped forward, pulled his finger from his lips, and replaced it with my tongue. The man taking my mouth as if he owned it, his hands gripping me to him, his kiss hard and dominant. I fell back on the bed, his body above me, knees moving to either side of me as he took a final pull on my mouth before sitting up, skimming his fingers down my breasts, the lines of my stomach, hooking into the sides of my panties and dragging them over my hips, his body rolling off me enough to free my body from the last bit of resistance. My turn, I breathed, sitting up and reaching for his belt. He obliged, rolling onto his back and letting me unbutton his shirt. I am so nervous. I realized it as my fingers looped buttons through holes, each minor accomplishment revealing inch after inch of strong chest, covered by a thin layer of hair. He was a man, more man than anyone I had been with. My last boyfriend was a leftover from college, a frat boy turned pharmacist, who never let go of the shaggy haircut that every boy from the South seems to don like a badge of honor. This man, whose chest was strong and wide, his eyes dark and heated, his touch, which trailed perfectly down my back, was firm and confident. I pulled at his shirt, tugging fabric from pants until abs were fully exposed, a thin line of thicker hair leading down the ripped path of his stomach to a belt buckle, a break of skin against dark fabric. I slowed down, pulled hesitantly on the leather, the cold metal of the clasp so foreign in this hot bed of sexual tension. Then his hands pushed me aside, three quick movements, having his pants undone, zipper down, belt open, and cock out. The groan out of me was unstoppable. It rumbled, turned into a hiss, and then my hesitation was gone, and I pounced on it, diving with greedy lips, my frantic fingers trying to pull him down the bed, as I slid down his body and onto my knees on the carpet. I needed it all. I needed to feel the slide of skin against stiff, needed to feel it respond on my tongue. I wanted to taste every inch of it, suck on his head until he gasped, take him as far down my throat as I could. Damn the gag reflex. Obsessively worship him with my mouth until he was half as hungry with lust as I was. I couldn't believe I was doing this. On my knees in a stranger's hotel room, his body following my lead, sliding to the end of the bed, sitting up, his hand settling on the back of my head, pushing with encouragement as I took his gorgeous cock in my mouth. I was naked in front of this man, any prior relationship with modesty having jumped ship. His eyes nothing but worshiping in their perusal of my curves. He was almost without taste, and my mouth worked hard, yearning for a response, the squeeze of sweet hitting my tongue. And despite my subservient position on my knees, it was empowering to have his most sensitive organ in my mouth. I looked up at him, my eyes watering slightly as he took the moment to pull me further onto his cock. God, the look in his eyes, singular focus on me. His mouth opened slightly as I increased the pressure of my suction, the ownership of his stare even as his lids dropped slightly. My name came out as a hiss on his lips.
Get up, he growled. I need to be inside of you, now.
His hands were suddenly on my wrists, stopping my motion on his cock. Lifting me to my feet, I was on the bed before I could think, my back dragging across the duvet as he put me into place. A slowing of time. His hands firm and patient as they spread my legs, opened me before him. Any concern I had over my naked body, the pounds I really should have shed before hitting vacation mode in a bikini, everything was wiped away by the shudder in his sigh, the look in his eyes as he drank me in, his fingers opening me up, his mouth lowering for a few back-arching seconds as his tongue dipped inside of me. Then he withdrew, dragged his fingers down my legs and stopped at my ankle, worked the strap with his fingers, caressed the curves of my foot as he pulled off the stiletto.
Is this what you want?
My shoes to be taken off? The heel dropped to the floor with a soft thud. I looked down past the V of my legs at the naked man before me, a hand settling on the outward jut of his cock, wrapping around its base, stroking it as he stared at me, met my eyes for one silent moment. Salty air swept over my skin, my legs still spread, fingers of coolness softly brushing over my open slit. I was so wet I could feel a drop sliding down the crack of my ass.
This, what I'm about to do, is it what you want?
Yes. I didn't need to hesitate before speaking the words. I didn't need to think, to analyze. I threw reason and safety and good decisions out the window as soon as I walked through the door to this suite. I traded logic for a touch that I desperately craved, a connection that was dropping that perfect cock and moving to my other foot, working the straps to that heel, fingers teasing the arch and ankle there. The heel came off in his hand and he tossed it away, gripped my ankle, moved his knees on the bed until he was before me, his cock placed against the wet mound. His hands on my inner thighs, delicate movements that were turning rougher, stronger. He pressed on the back of my knees, lifted my legs until my thighs brushed my stomach, shoved forward with his hips, and dragged his hardness back and forth over my clit. I whimpered. I couldn't help myself. I could feel the loss of control, feel the breakdown of my mind as pleasure took over, and I became a loose mess of want before him.
I was so close to begging, needed his cock an inch lower so badly I was two steps away from taking that matter into my own hands. Please. The word slipped from my lips as he continued, the underside of his cock now slick with my juices, the steady drag on my clit so perfect that my plea was suddenly counterproductive, seeing as the only thing I wanted to do right then was stay in the moment until I broke. Shove. Pull. Shove. Pull. I propped myself up to get a better look, the eroticism of seeing his bare cock, head and shaft tight to the point of ripping, the muscles in his stomach sliding under the tan skin, the evidence of my arousal, my need growing. His skin in the moonlight, reflections of white in his eyes, the groan from his mouth that told me his self-control was as stretched as my own. I didn't want to come like this, from just the rub of his cock. How tightly stretched was my arousal that just this brush with him could bring me to my knees? I pushed against his chest, squirmed underneath him. Please, I can't. I'm about to. I need it. His gruff voice was close to my ear. The consistent, firm strokes continued. The pump of his cock back and forth, back and, oh my. I stopped it somehow, gasped for breath, tried to focus, tried to fight a battle I was seconds from losing. I didn't know why I was fighting it, how I was managing. All I knew was that every second was incredible, and I didn't want to lose it, couldn't lose it. Not right now, not just yet. I needed another 10 seconds, or 50, or 500. I needed this man to never stop anything he was doing, to. My elbows gave out, and I collapsed, my back bucking, every muscle in my legs contracting as the purest form of ecstasy blinded my world, gripped my heart, and shuddered through my body. A metallic scrape. The rip. Crackle. I saw a bit of gold flutter to the scrunched fabric of the white duvet. Moving my eyes to between my legs, I saw the hot brand of his cock lift, busy in his hands, wrapped and secured. Then his hands stilled, and I pulled my eyes up, over his stomach, which moved slightly with heavy breaths. Up over the strength of his chest, the defined muscles in his shoulders, the shadow on his face, the swollen curve of his lips. His eyes, blazing with intensity, watched me carefully as he growled out a sigh. I didn't move, didn't pull my eyes from him, but felt the weight of latexed cock against my sensitive clit as he leaned forward slightly, a finger surprising me when he pressed it through the seal of my pussy. A moan sighed through my lips at the change in his eyes that occurred, the drug of arousal moving through them, dulling his spark, his mouth opening further. He closed his eyes for a moment, his finger moving slowly and deliciously inside of me, and then reopened, control reestablished. I didn't want his control. I wanted him ravaging me, taking me harder, rougher, his strength untapped, sexuality grabbing hold and dragging him by his lapels to the throne of me, where he would forever be my sexual slave.
Are you sure?
I groaned in response, his finger cupping, stroking, my core so wet I was shaking for him.
Answer me. I need to hear it.
His voice was rough, control shaken. Good. I opened my eyes and reestablished contact. Let him see the resolution there. Yes, please, now. He leaned forward, braced himself above me on the bed, his face a foot from mine, my vision filled with the beautiful look of Brett, and shifted his hips down slightly and thrust. Mother of. I whimpered, reached up and gripped his shoulders, pulled him closer as my mouth opened in silent exclamation. It had been too long. I couldn't go without it for that long ever again. On second thought, maybe the reason this felt so incredible was because I had been without. But either way, the stretch of my muscles around his cock, the heat inside me as he slowly thrust in and out, back and forth, my silent cries turning a little louder, becoming words, moans, begs, pleas. Don't ever stop. Brett, I...
He gave it to me slow, let me adjust before his speed picked up, thrusts roughening right at the moment when I was ready for it. I wrapped my legs around his waist, dug my heels into the lickable meat of his ass, squeezed the heat of his skin with my legs, stared up into his face as he buried his cock in repeated succession, the quickened pace containing an edge of desperation, of wild inhibition.
Right there, I'm about to...
I bellowed, the howl of a woman overtaken, and he groaned at the sound, lowered his face to my neck, inhaled my scent as my voice broke. I lost all focus, all ability to understand anything but that he hadn't stopped, hadn't slowed, was carrying me on this high, which would not stop until it took hold of my soul and made me his own. He pulled me back to life, gripped my face with both hands, lowering his face to mine, and dove into my mouth, kissed me strong, ragged breaths between deep kisses. His cock continued its steady thrust, my hands greedy against his chest, scraping across the ridges of his side, scratching lines of need into his back. Then he broke the kiss, his hands tightening a little on my face, our eyes holding until a groan dragged from his throat, his eyes closing, head dropping, thrusts slowing and deepening, until he was buried and still inside of me. His hands dropped my face, my name rolled off his lips as he eased down, his body flushed to mine. And it felt, in that moment, like we were fused, souls, bodies, and mind, completely together. Chapter 10. My cell was ringing. I heard the familiar tune, the beats dragging me awake, my hand fumbling over the empty bedside table. I woke more, hanging half off the bed as my fingers tripped over carpet, until they encountered my purse. I answered it a second short of too late.
Hello?
You slut! The screech of Tammy's voice was way too loud, and I pulled the phone away from my ear. Blinked in the darkness, tried to figure out where I was. One bed, not two. Room twice as big as the one I spent the prior night in. Movement came from behind me, and I looked over my shoulder to see well over 6 feet of dark gorgeousness watching me. On his side, the dawn light contrasting with the intense look that he rocked so well.
"Good morning,"
he mouthed, his hand reaching out, wrapping around my waist and pulling me flat on my back. He stayed on one side, head propped up on one hand, eyes on my face.
"What do you want?"
I mumbled into the phone.
"I just got back to the room. I know your prude ass can't be shacking up with that delicious piece of man you left with last night."
"I can't talk right now."
"You know, wheels are going up in 3 hours.
"Then you should get some more beauty rest." A snort. The beginning of some lecture. I hung up the phone, locked it and tossed it onto the floor in the direction of my purse, before rolling toward Brett and closing my eyes. I tried to memorize the look of him in morning shadows. It was a good look. Way too good of a look. "I've got to go back to my room."
"No, you don't."
He bent over, pressing a kiss on my collarbone, pulled at the sheet and revealed a breast. He exhaled, moved his mouth to that spot with soft kisses until I pushed him off, cuddled into the crook of his shoulder, rested my head on him when he laid back against the pillows. "I have to go back home."
"When?"
The word vibrated through his chest, and I rolled closer into him, ran my hand over his chest. "One, which means I need to pack and shower."
"And eat breakfast?"
I looked up. "Maybe."
"I've been told that I'm excellent at ordering room service."
"I've been told that I'm excellent at eating it." We ate on the bed like kids, cross-legged, cartoons on the TV, trays on the crumpled sheets before us. I leaned over, swigged a generous swallow of mimosa from the flute, and then returned it to the bedside table.
So, Mr. I tilted my head at him. I don't know your last name. He scowled, brought a forkful of omelet to his mouth, and chewed thoroughly before swallowing, the clench of his jaw as he ate drawing my attention to the strong curves of his face, the way dark stubble made the green of his eyes pop. The gulp of his throat was, in itself, somehow sexy.
Jacobs.
Jacobs. Why the Bahamas, Mr. Jacobs?
Isn't that a question you should have asked me before you...
I raised my eyebrows as he struggled for words. Before I what? He met my playful gaze.
Trusted me with your body.
I shrugged. Jenna has your business card. She makes a practice of digging into every aspect of my life. I'm sure she has your blood type and latest draft of your resume by this point. She hasn't called to warn me of anything, so I think my body is safe in your hands. When his eyes darkened, they became hunter green. A heart-stopping change. Intensity looked incredible on this man.
I fish.
My eyes picked up on his tan, the flex of his forearms as he reached forward and snagged a piece of toast. I suddenly wanted to see him on the deck of a boat, wearing only swim trunks. The flex of his muscles as he battled the fish, the break of his smile when he caught a prize. I'd never seen him during the day, when the sun reflected in those eyes. I looked down, scooped up a spoonful of grits and brought them to my mouth, chewed, swallowed, looked back to find him watching me.
Have you caught anything this trip?
His mouth twitched.
Been too busy with a certain blonde to get any time in.
Ah, sure. Blame your bad luck on me. I shot him a look he found humorous, his mouth splitting into an easy grin. I was digging out grapes from the fruit bowl when he spoke.
Stay a few more days with me.
I paused my quest for red ones. I can't. I have to work tomorrow. As I spoke the words, I realized how out of character they were for me, blaming work instead of the fact that staying here with a stranger was foolhardy. How strange that I wanted to stay. The warm buzz, the state of euphoria that seemed to accompany every moment in this man's presence. It was a high I hadn't experienced in a long time. New love. Love that, at previous interactions, skipped along on its merry way after a few weeks. My last experience with this heady, butterflies in my tummy, elation in my heart feeling was high school? Back when I had fresh, unwounded eyes, before I realized the selfishness and deceit that we, as adults, hold, the ugly truths of life that pull apart love and make our relationships obligation centers that carry us from year to year, transition to transition.
What do you do?
His question brought me back. I popped an elusive red grape in my mouth before answering. I'm a financial advisor. I work at a local bank in a town called Quincy.
Why Quincy?
I shrugged. It's my hometown. After college, I spent a few years in Athens with a guy I was dating. When that ended, I didn't really have anywhere else to go. Didn't want to stay in Athens, so I came home. The super exciting story of my life. I changed the focus of the conversation. What about you? He leaned back.
Fort Lauderdale. The bank can't do without you for a few days?
I shook my head. Nope. Why Fort Lauderdale? What do you do there?
I sell boats.
God, this guy was a regular chatterbox. I let my eyes float over the suite, the dining room table we seemed more likely to fuck on, the watch draped over his wallet, a brand I didn't recognize, but one I could guarantee was worth what I made in a year. You sell boats? He chuckled.
Yes.
He slid over, pushing his tray forward, so close to the edge of the bed that I watched it nervously, my attention redirected when his lips closed over my neck.
Stop thinking,
he whispered, taking another taste of my neck, this one more aggressive, one that would probably leave a hickey. Super classy, Riley. My mother would be thrilled. I closed my eyes, leaned into his mouth, let his arms slide my body up the bed and roll me atop him.
I was overdramatic last night. What I said to you. About owning you.
I figured it was for effect.
But this isn't something I do. I don't make a habit of fucking strangers.
His words tumbled awkwardly over the expletive, as if he wasn't used to swearing. Neither do I. Hell, I lived in a town where strangers didn't exist, and I still hadn't done any fucking. Showed what happened when I tried to brave life outside of our dirt roads.
What are you doing next weekend?
Nothing. The lie came out convincingly. Casey Craig, my second cousin on some distant family member's side, was actually having a baby shower on Saturday, her fourth one in the last 6 years. Yet there would be serious repercussions if I was not present. It is the South, after all. Not to mention, I also had plans to spray the yard for bugs. Super important stuff that my lie pushed to the side. I wanted this man. I knew little to nothing about him, but I craved something outside of my world. I was sick of pantyhose and mutual funds, potluck dinners and familial obligations. This weekend was the most alive I'd felt in a decade. Part of it was the location. The majority of it had lay atop me, had moved inside of me, had woken me at 4 a.m., begging for 5 minutes inside of me, then blessed my world for 20. I was 32. I was not dead. I was not in a relationship. I was bored. Had he asked me to pack up my house and move to Fort Lauderdale right now, I would have been tempted to say yes.
See me next weekend. I'll send you a plane. It won't be the jet you girls flew in on, but it'll get you to me easier than commercial.
I looked at him. How do you know what we came in on?
Don't get too excited. I was at the private airport when you arrived.
He ran a hand through my hair.
Pretty blondes always catch my eye.
I let out a huff of air. We're almost all blondes. He smiled, that grin tugging hard at my vulnerable heart.
You leave them all in the dust.
The blush hot on my cheeks, I lifted my mouth, stopped from a kiss by his hand on my chest.
Next weekend?
I smiled. Maybe. He shrugged.
I'll take it.
His hand ran up my back, into my hair, his eyes softening as he studied me. Then, from beside us, the shrill screech of his phone. He let out an exasperated sigh.
Let me get that.
I rolled off him and watched him stand, the smooth swipe of his phone. He didn't check the display, just answered and held it to his ear.
Hey.
He turned, giving me a wink as he opened the slider and stepped onto the balcony, the glass fitting snug as it closed, his words taken by the wind. I propped up on my elbows and studied him, the strong width of his back as he leaned against the railing, the break of his smile as he laughed. He huddled over the phone, cupping his hand over the receiver as if protecting it, the wind strong enough to tousle his hair and press his shirt flat against his chest. I stared at him and felt my heart beating faster, my eyes tripping over the grip of his hand, the flap of his shirt. I wondered who he was talking to, out in the wind, this sweet, quiet, and still. Except for me. Obviously, he went out for privacy. I yanked my eyes off him and swung my feet over the edge of the bed. He wanted to see me again. Another weekend like this. One where we'd both pretend to be people we weren't, and where I'd lose another piece of myself. He'd return to his life, and I'd have fallen a little deeper into that hole that was Brett Jacobs. I had the sudden, urgent desire to leave, to run from this man before goodbyes and false promises dirtied this memory. Better for me to leave now, while I had some tatters of dignity, while I could still pretend it was my choice. Look at me, the fun girl who bedded wild men and skipped out without a care in the world. I could play that girl, here in this empty room, with only a dirty room service tray to call my bluff. I scooped up my heels, checked for any forgotten items, then grabbed my cell and purse, and slipped out the door. Chapter 11. Tight. Adjective. closely integrated and bound in love or friendship. A tight-knit family. Six girls on one jet was a disaster. We climbed in, elbows bumping armpits, suitcases unzipped on the pavement, and last-minute items grabbed before the pilot swung the luggage into the back. The plane belonged, like every other perk of the weekend, to Chelsea's dad. We'd used it a few times before, down to Panama City for spring break, up to Pennsylvania to ski. Enough times that we all had our place on the plane, jeans hitting seats with minimal arguments. The door closed, and there was one quiet moment before Megan, while pulling out her headphones, threw out the bone that started the conversation. "Tammy says Riley didn't come home last night." I groaned, pulling up my sweatshirt hood and slumping down in the seat, the neck supporter doing little to ease the tension building. "Please, don't act like you're sharing news that everyone hasn't already analyzed to death. Why? Why did I have my one moment of slutdom right before a 2-hour flight with them?" "Well, you know my opinion on the subject." A collective groan resonated through the cabin. Yes, we all knew Megan's opinion on the subject. The 31-year-old virgin never missed a moment to voice her stance. "Well, Megan, you sit there with your headphones and have a moment of silence to mourn the passing of Riley's celibacy," Chelsea said tartly. "I want details. I'm 10 weeks away from being a one-penis woman." "You've been a one-penis woman since 10th grade," Beth piped in from the back. "Can we please stop calling Chelsea a one-penis woman? I'm getting sideshow visions." I closed the curtain beside me and wished this plane would freaking get going so we could have some airflow. The door to the cockpit slid open, and the co-pilot leaned back. "Great. With my luck, we're having engine trouble."
"I hate to bother you, ladies, but there's a gentleman outside the plane."
We all shut up long enough to hear the bang of something against the door. Chelsea was the first to get her window curtain aside, my seat putting me on the wrong side of the plane. But I knew, as soon as her head snapped to me, who was outside. I closed my eyes for a brief moment. "Don't tell me." They didn't have to tell me. Mitzi worked the latch, the door swung up with a burst of sunlight, and I swear I could smell him. The scent of masculinity and possession as he strode up the stairs and pointed at me, his gorgeous mouth curving into a grin.
"You, outside. Unless you want me to kiss you senseless in front of all these ladies."
My glare's effect was weakened by the whoops of five women, a smattering of applause accompanying the cheers. I glanced at Chelsea, her dad's bill ticking higher with every minute we sat on the jetway. She tilted her head toward Brett, her eyes brimming with excitement, and moved her feet from the aisle. Rolling my eyes, I pushed off the armrests, my gaze drawing, without intent, to the delicious backside of Brett as he jogged down the plane's steps. I plodded behind him, my tennis shoes heavy and slow. What is he doing here? And why? His shoes hit the ground and he turned, extending a hand out to me and tugging when I slid my palm into his. I made it down the last few steps, falling into his chest, his arms sliding up and wrapping around me. I looked up into his face. "Why are you?" He silenced my question with his mouth, a firm kiss that he punctuated with action, his hands sliding down my arms and settling on my ass, squeezing the cheeks as if verifying his claim.
"You left,"
he accused, pulling his mouth from mine and looking down, his words hard to focus on as he continued to grip my ass like he had every right. "It was a fun weekend. No need to spoil it with false promises." I barely got out the words before he let go and dug in his pocket, my butt already missing the contact. I glanced up at the open door, curious faces darting away. Chelsea's big smile, the only one to stay put. She watched without shame, my glare doing nothing to dissuade her. I'm shocked she didn't open some popcorn and prop up her feet.
"Here."
He pressed something into my hand, and I looked down. A piece of hotel stationery folded in two, his number scribbled on the outside.
"Call or text me when you get home safely.
if you want, or throw it away. It's in your court, but I couldn't let you leave without it.
I could feel the weight of the girl's stares, the tick of the clock as expensive minutes passed, the heat of the sun as it prickled the sunburnt tops of my shoulders. I told you, this doesn't have to be anything.
Or?
He shrugged, stepping forward, his mouth pressing softly against my cheek, my lips crying for the missed contact, the taste of his tongue, the one last chance that might have just flown by.
It could be the start of everything.
Then he stepped back, one slow step back, then two, his hand reaching out, a casual wave given as his mouth broke open into a smile that would make Rob Lowe envious.
See you, Riley.
I waved a slow hand, his number in between my fingers, fluttering in the wind, my hand dropping, closing tighter around the paper as I turned before he could and jogged up the steps of the plane. The door shut behind me, and I faced five seats of silent, curious eyes. Shut it, I blurted, dropping back into my seat and fastening the belt, my fingers shoving his number into my tote bag's inside pocket. It was nothing. That, right there? Tiny Beth stood, the pilot barking a protest, and pointed outside, all eyes craning to the windows. I didn't even want to know the view, didn't want to know what made a few squeals come from that general vicinity. That was textbook romance. I'd give up an ovary for that right there. Chelsea reached out and yanked at Beth's shirt, pulling her to her seat, the pilot finally turning back, the engines increasing in speed as every eye remained locked on me. Stop it, I warned, reclining the seat and stuffing the neck support back into place. I had a one-night stand, end of story. Then you won't need his number. I pried open one eye to see Beth reaching across the aisle, digging for my purse, Chelsea's booted heel catching her wrist and causing a shriek of pain. Before Riley shares all the juicy secrets about her night of passion, let me give you ladies the rundown on Mr. Brett Jacobs. Jenna's voice crowed from behind me. I'm not sharing any juicy secrets, I interjected. I pulled the purse out of reach, sandwiching it between my calves, and closed my eyes, feigning disinterest. Jenna didn't pause, the trajectory of her voice indicating a rise in position, the blonde no doubt holding court and relishing every moment of it. Brett Jacobs is listed on Betchart Yacht's website as being a sales manager. His job description consists of, well, he's a salesman, she finished plainly, but of big ticket items. Their cheapest yacht starts at $10 million, which, at her pause, there was a flutter of papers. Good God, the woman probably had a PowerPoint presentation at the ready. Which, if I estimate just a percentage of commission, we're talking six figures per boat. There was an impressed hum of approval from the group, and I willed her to shut up. The plane moved forward, and some of my hair got caught in the fresh grip of her hand on my headrest. I winced, reaching a hand back, and carefully pulled my ponytail free, the action discovering a wealth of knots and bumps along the top of